15 and 16.
Galatians 1, 15 and 16. Today we begin a new series, The Power of Personal Vision. The Power of Personal Vision. And my prayer, my hope is that throughout this month and as we continue on it, that the Lord himself will speak to you and that you understand what God means by the power of personal vision. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. We thank you for every testimony that have been lifted to you. We thank you for who you are, what you do. No man can do it but you. Thank you for Rebuilders Apostolic Ministry, the fire you've brought us. Thank you for every life, every family here present. Thank you for every department. Thank you for every ministry. Today, Lord, we gather here just to worship and also to hear from you. And as we hear, Lord, inspire our spirit to be doers of your word. That we live here, Lord, with a conviction to do that which you have spoken. For in doing so, our lives are blessed. Now, Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, every form of destruction be bound. I decree that the enemy shall not sow the seed of lie and deceit in the heart of your people. I pray that your word will prosper, that it will come out so simply but so powerfully. Holy Spirit, may our hearts be open, that as we receive from you, we will know indeed that you have spoken to us as a loving father would do to children whom he loves. Thank you, for you are so good. So, so, so good. We bless you. In Jesus' name, and the church say, believe in amen.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul speaking says, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son unto me that I might preach him. I want you to follow the sequence of the word of God. When it pleased God, who has called me, who has separated me, giving me a vision of my life, not when I was born, but before I was even conceived in my mother's womb, it pleased him at a particular time to reveal his son to me. And the purpose for which he has revealed his son to me is to give me the vision of my life. And that vision is for me to preach and to teach of who Jesus Christ is unto the Gentiles. Immediately, I did not conform with flesh and blood. In another place, he said, but I was obedient to the heavenly vision. Children of God, this morning, I want you to please give me your utmost attention as you're giving it to the Holy Spirit. Your life not only has a purpose, as God has used Mama to speak to us, that we are created in purpose and for purpose, but your life has a vision assigned to it by God. Paul, who became an apostle, formerly was known as Saul of Tarsus. As of then, his life was wrapped around in what he thought was service to God. And what he believed was what God called him to do. And what was that? To persecute the church of Jesus Christ. He was doing something, but he thought he was doing it for God. He thought that was his vision. You know, that's such so real with so many of us. Often we are engaged in something And we think that that is what God has for us. Often we are so caught up in what we are doing in the name of God, and we think this is the vision of God for our lives. Paul was so zealous. He was so dedicated. He was so committed that he would go from city to arrest those who believe in Jesus, because he thought, that was my vision. Today I pray for you that if you're in the wrong track, you're running the race that you think is God's race for you, but it is not, that your eyes be open. That you come to the place of revelation. That your spiritual eyes of understanding be open to the very vision of God for your life. Not the one you think it is what it is. Because as long as Paul or Saul then was concerned, he was running the vision of God for his life. He felt compelled to do what he did. He stood by when Stephen was stoned to death. And he felt that was of God. Child of God, the greatest misery of life is to arrive in heaven, standing at the very throne of grace, and before the God of the whole earth. And you hear, I do not know you. And you say, but I have served you. I ran the vision. I did what I thought was what you wanted. He said, depart from me, for I don't know you. Now that is such a heartbreaking statement. Because the worst part of that statement is that there is no more remedy. There is no more remedy. It is done and it is over. You don't have chance to come back to correct it. You don't have chance to amend. You don't have the opportunity to get it right. Therefore, it becomes necessary this morning that you listen to me. You listen to the Holy Spirit to understand that you have but one shot. One shot. Get it right and stay on it. Because it will be painful for you to run the race, but you run in another man's track. Those of us who were in our days, when I was still able to run, you know, we used to run sprint race. I used to be very good at it. Yeah, that's one of the things I used to be good at. You can run as fast as a gazelle and get there before everybody. But if you run in another person's track, you are disqualified. Therefore, Paul says, I don't run aimlessly. My God. I don't beat the air. I discipline myself and I stay on my track. Lest after I have preached this gospel myself, I will be cast away. Oh, don't listen to preachers who tell you, well, everybody's going to get to heaven. That's a lie. If everybody's going to get to heaven, what are we doing here? We all should be living anyhow we want to. After all, the gate is open for everybody. The gate isn't open for everybody. You're going to run it right. You're going to fulfill your vision. I pray for you that you shall fulfill the God's vision for your life. You will fulfill God's vision for your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You're not going to miss it. Amen. You're not going to run in another man's lane. Amen. You will run your own. You will run and you will speak like Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my race, my vision. I have finished my vision. I have finished my vision. And what is left for me now is to receive the crown of glory that God will give to me and will give to as many who have done so. So, child of God, understanding your personal vision in life is critical to the realization of your destiny. When you don't know, when you don't understand your personal vision, you live a life of confusion. Many people are confused in life, not because the devil is powerful confusing them, but because they don't know who they are and why they are in the kingdom for such a time as this. This is our prayer focus Every Sunday, those who make announcement bring it to you. God grant me the revelation that I may know why I am in the kingdom for such a time as this. As I know many of you hear it and have never been praying it. But let me bring it back to you today. Because I love you so much for me to not see you in heaven. Or for me not to see you fulfill destiny here on earth. Sister Patient talked about how I've been on her head. That is my calling. That is my wife's calling. When we see in you the greatness and the vision of God for your life, I'm going to be in your business until you become who God wants you to be. You don't sit back in this church and feel as though you have nothing to offer. God has given you too much for you to be wasting it. So personal vision becomes critical. Not only do I know my personal vision as it relates to the kingdom of God, I must know my personal vision as it relates to life here on earth. Because you're not just here to exist and feel good and die and go to heaven. No, that's not it. God has a vision, a personal vision for you here on earth. And your personal vision becomes your vehicle of fulfilling divine vision. If she takes, and I believe she will, and launches this business as God will have her, wherever she goes to decorate, she has an opportunity to talk to somebody about God. She has an opportunity to witness. She has an opportunity maybe to employ somebody. She has an opportunity maybe to become such a name in Delaware, in the tri-state, that tomorrow she can tell people, I came this far by the grace of God. Amen. So everything God gives to you to do naturally as your vision has a correlation to your spiritual vision. The question is, do you see it that way? Do you understand that the career you have chosen or God have allowed you to choose and inspire you to choose has something to do with the realization of kingdom vision? You cannot live a life where you don't understand the power of platform. The power of what? God creates platform for you that you may use it for his glory. The man in question here, God allowed him to become a lawyer. And when you read his epistles, when you read his conversation, when you read how he presented the gospel, you understand that he didn't go to school just to be an educated man. God allowed him to go to school for the kingdom. God allowed him to go to school for the kingdom. Because when he stood before Agrippa the king, he argued the gospel so much so that the man was almost to give his life to Christ. Paul's writings are so profound. They are inspired by God. But you can see the level of his commitment, the excellency of his ministry, being showcased by virtue of his experience. Why are you where you are today? Why have you studied what you have studied? Why do you do what you do? Do you think it's a job that provides money for you? Do you see it as a platform for the glory of God? Because your perception as to what it is determines what you do there. If it is for God, then you will live for God in it. Your lifestyle will be that which brings glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of personal vision. When you understand and accept this truth, it opens up to you the idea that your life has meaning on earth. Your life has meaning. Mama Shalom used to sing a song, if my life has no meaning to the people around me, if my life has no meaning to my family, My life has so much meaning to my God. It makes so much meaning to my God. And as I listen to her sing it, and it begins to dawn on me that the fact here is that when I accept the vision of God for my life, my personal vision, not corporate vision, but my personal vision, it changes me. It brings me to the place where I no longer allow people to define me. Amen. Where I am not intimidated by who seems to have gone ahead of me. Where I am sure in my spirit that no matter what happened, I have a voice on earth. I have a contribution to make. I am here not as a nonentity. I am here as a meaningful contributor to the overall purpose of God. Your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. God has given you personal vision. So what is personal vision? Personal vision has to do with knowing and understanding the why of your life. W-H-Y. Personal vision has to do with knowing and understanding the question of why of my life. Why am I here? Why am I in God's kingdom for such a time as this? When you answer the question of why, it defines your interaction with life. You know why people do still do what they do in church? They go to white parties. They in church. The other day, last night, this Facebook that Delphine took me to, I was watching something. I don't know what. Thank God it doesn't come to my field. But a pastor caught red-handed with another man's wife in a hotel. A pastor. Okay. So what foolishness is that? The why of his life, he has missed it. He has missed it. Because that's why he could do what he's doing. If he understand his vision, he knows that adultery has nothing to do with it. There is no place for adultery in the fulfillment of his personal vision. So the things you are struggling to let go, are they contributing meaningful factors, positive factors in your vision? Because when you understand your personal vision, it challenges you to ask yourself, do I need these things? Am I supposed to be hanging with these people? Do I go to this type of party and do this type of dance? Do I think like this? Because if they have nothing to do with your vision, what are you doing with it? But when it comes to church, they're wasting my time. But you go to places, you spend 5 hours, they're not wasting your time. And whatever they're telling you, there has nothing to do with you, your vision, or where you're going. At what point do you become jealous of who you are and protect yourself from things that are there to kill you? It becomes something you gotta think. When this man got this revelation that I was separated from my mother's womb and that God has given me a vision, and that vision is to preach Jesus to the Gentile, he said, I did not go to consort with flesh and blood. I didn't want people to define for me how I'm going to go about this. I went to seek God. Because if the vision is from God, he alone must tell me how to fulfill it. I got to seek him. I got to understand what he has given to me. You know the problem we have? We get excited. But when the personal vision is challenged, we throw in the towel. It's not working. Throughout this series, I'm going to tell you by the Holy Ghost that there is no personal vision that does not require a fight. You got to fight for it. You can't fulfill it without a fight. You can't be who God wants you to be without a fight. And you know the first person to fight? Yourself. Your first fight is with you. If you win the fight of you, you will win the fight of the outside.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I discipline myself. When it comes to personal vision, my fight is with me. I gotta put myself in order, in place. Oh, hallelujah. So, personal vision answers the question of the why of your life. Philosophically speaking, the question of why is a question that every philosopher have tried to answer. But unfortunately, they are wasting their time because the answer is in the Bible. The why of life is there. Hallelujah. Personal vision answers the question of what drives you in life. What drives me in life? So personal vision is knowing the very core of my drive in life. It answers the question and brings you to the focus of what impact do you intentionally want to make in life? What impact do I want to make in life? What legacy do I want to leave? At the end of my life, when I pass out and move on to glory, men shall gather, a casket will be there. People will mourn and they will cry. But after a month, some will forget me. But one thing that will never be forgotten is the impact that I have made. Because it will leave after me. So today, as we begin this conversation, I want to ask you a simple question. Who are you impacting? What impact are you making? What impact are you making? Is your life all just for you? Who is still in the kingdom of God today because you are there to help them stand and continue to fight?
Hallelujah.
Which family is standing today because you have taken it upon yourself to pray for them and to continue to do so irrespective of how they respond to you, treat you, or like you or dislike you? You know, we complain we don't have time. Yeah, we do. We do. The question is what we do with it. Because some of the things we do takes our energy so that before the time we're getting to do the right thing, we don't have the strength to do it. Refocus. Prioritize. Understand that impact is not accidental. Write it down. Impact is intentional. It is not accidental. It is intentional. Jesus made such an impact. Not accidentally, we're going to see that. Paul made such an impact. Not accidentally, but intentionally. You cannot do otherwise. You can't do otherwise. You can't do otherwise. And when it comes to kingdom vision, or your personal vision that God has given to you as it relates to the kingdom, I said it on Thursday while we were about to pray. That when it comes to God, you don't define for him how you will serve him. God defines for you how you are going to serve him.
Amen.
And how you will fulfill what he has called you to do. It is not up to you when you have made the choice to. Before you make the choice, that's your business. But as long as you make the choice, as soon as you make the choice to accept the personal vision, Paul made the choice to accept it. On his way to Damascus, he made a choice when he said, Lord, who are you? And what will you have me do? Acts chapter 9. I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Arise And I shall show thee. I will tell you what you must do for me. And how you're going to suffer for me. Personal vision is not void of struggles. Personal vision is not void of struggles. There is no one who has fulfilled their personal vision without struggle. Nobody. So those preachers who tell you, oh, once you are doing what God wants you to do, everything is going to be good for your life, they're lying to you. As a matter of fact, once you start doing what God wants you to do, something has started happening in your life. It is called opposition. It is called a fight. When some of you used to go to the bar and drink until the next day, you wake up, find your way to your house and sleep until you go to work. When you recover from your drunkenness, your life just moves on. But today you don't do that. And the devil is after your tail. Why is he pursuing you? Because now you've realized who you are. Because now you are on point. He doesn't find you in the bar. He finds you in the church. So he fights you to say, okay, maybe you go get a drink so you feel better. He's a liar. There is no feeling better in that glass of wine. The Holy Ghost is enough. Get intoxicated. Speak in tongues. Mahando bokoro bagadada. Shout if you want to. Dance if you want to. Bless the music. And enjoy the presence of the Lord. The Holy Ghost is considered to be a new wine. If you sip it, oh hallelujah. It keeps you moving. It keeps you moving. And that's a good wine to drink. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Personal vision challenges you to the question of what impact you want to make intentionally in life. The ability to answer these questions brings clarity necessary for a deep conviction required to live a purpose driven and vision driven life. When I come to the realization of the fact that my life has a vision given to me by God, when I come to that, what it creates in me is a deep conviction, something that circumstances cannot take away from me. On Thursday, my wife on Wednesday night pleaded with me with Sifa. Don't go back to the hospital. You've not slept for 3 days. Stay home. She took Ibubechi. But as much they were there, my mind was there. But I came here to pray, to lead service. I have not slept for 4 days going. But no matter what I face, there is a conviction that is something greater than my opposition. There is something greater than my pain. It is not that my pain does not exist. And this has nothing to do with the years of being in the Lord. It began that day I said yes. My father looked at me in the 80s and told me, hey, this is your church and God matter. If you don't stop it, you're not my son. I said, okay, thank you very much. We shall find out. Today, we are like this. I could have quitted when I was disowned. I could have quitted when there was no food to eat. I left everything to go to Bible school. One day I'll show you a picture. One day. My wife knows what I'm talking about. And each of those men who stood in that picture today are voice in nations. Two of them are in South Africa. The other one hosts me in New York. Each one of them, if you see us those days, and vividly you know the hunger was our next. The hunger was our next door neighbor. That way you make a pot of soup and you keep on adding water to it, adding water to it, adding water to it. So that it can last. Eh? And you trust God for the next meal. For the school fees. You trust God for your handout. Nobody was sponsoring you. It was you and God alone. People are there tempting you. Come sleep with me. I'll pay your school fees. And you look at them. You say, know what? I rebuke you, Satan. I'm going to stay focused. Amen. It hasn't been an easy journey. But the conviction to pursue the vision began the day I said yes. So no matter what the devil throw at me today, I am going to do what I need to do. James gave a testimony here one day. I was here preparing for service and I got a call. Your brother is dead. It was a Thursday. And I stood here. I thought as though nothing happened. I could have gone home, reclined somewhere, and asked God, why would you take him without telling me? Am I the one who gave life to him? So should his passion stop me pursuing the vision of God? No. I am not saying you don't deal with pain. But remember this, that greater is the purpose and the vision of God in your life than whatever the enemy will throw at you. You must learn to cherish your vision. That is the only way you can stay on it when everything is falling apart. I want to say that again. You must learn to cherish your vision. The vision God has given to you of who he wants you to be, of what he wants you to do, that is personal to you. For Paul, it was to preach the gospel to the Gentile. And he stood, he stayed at it. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. You've read that in Corinthians? When he gave such a resume of what his life has looked like since he accepted this vision. He said, 3 times have I been shipwrecked. The 4th one, we were lost in the sea between life and death. 3 times have I been stoned to death. He began to say, he said, we are persecuted. We are counted as dead. He began to say, I have been with brethren who want to kill me and those who don't want to kill me. Thieves have attacked my carriage. Where was he going? To fulfill the vision. Where was the God who sent him? In heaven and with him. But he allowed the thief. Yes, he did. In 2006, we were living in GRA, I believe. Just shortly after we got married. Thieves came into our house. Away fence, well protected. It took them 1 hour 30 minutes to break through the burglaries of the window to come in. My wife just came back from Kenya. We had an adopted foster daughter. We had another young lady. We had 2 young men living with us at the time. They were in our house for almost 2 hours after they broke in, ransacked, stole, did everything unimaginable. And the next day, I had to go to the Bible school to teach. Took those who needed to be taken to the hospital. I could have asked God, what are you up to? This woman just came back to Nigeria and this is what you're welcoming her with? So when you see us stand, we are standing with scars of a journey. But the good news is that greater is he than all that the devil can muster. I am not running away from preaching the gospel. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My mind is made up. My heart is decided. Christianity is not for chicken-hearted, though. Those any little no. You gotta develop the heart of a lion, because the lion is in you. I said the lion is in you.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 through 10. Let's see Jesus. Let's see what he says about personal vision. Let's see what we can learn from him as it relates to his personal vision. Please, at this moment, see him as man, not as God, because he came as the God-man. And in this case, he speaks of himself, quoting Psalms 40, but the writer of Hebrews speaking of him from the vintage of a man. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at the fourth verse, I believe. I hope I am correct. And if I am not, we shall talk about it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goat should take away sins." Follow the argument. "Therefore, when he," Jesus, "came into the world," he said, this is what he said, "sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Stop there for a moment. When he came as the God-man, when he incarnated, when he came into this world, the first thing Jesus did was to understand his vision. Why am I in the world? When Jesus understood that, it framed his interaction. At the age of 12, he found himself in the temple. And the parents were looking for him. "What are you doing there?" He said, "Do you not know that I should be about my father's business?" At 12. So, age is not a barrier. Many of us are missing it because we are counting our age. I am challenging you today to stand up from that miasma of thinking that age will stop you and understand that there is something only you can fulfill here on earth. Jesus knew what his vision was. Jesus' personal vision was clear to him. He knew why he came into the world. He woke up each day determined to fulfill it. Why are you going back to Judea? They are trying to kill you there. Herod is after your life. He said, "Go tell that fox, I'm here today and tomorrow, but the next day I'll be gone. And as long as I'm here, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. For the night cometh when no man will walk again. I am not going to allow Herod or the powers that be to intimidate me out of my vision. I'm not going to allow the oppositions against my life to stop me from fulfilling the vision for which I live." Child of God, there are statements we begin to make, not in pride, not in arrogant spirit, but in a deep conviction that this is who we are. Before I came to the Lord, I dabbled into reading occultic books. Some of you don't know that. Because I was so obsessed with spiritual things. And as I studied and read, one thing came clear. Every occultic man was convinced that what he is doing is the right course for him. They don't think twice about killing people. They don't think twice about what they do. They had a conviction that that's the right way to live. Some of us have been into things that we were so convinced and convicted of. But today, when it comes to God, it becomes a question of, "Oh, I don't feel like it." When does feeling become the defining factor of your vision? Who has ever fulfilled vision by how they feel or by the convictions of their heart? Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know why you wake up each morning? "Oh, but Pastor, this is so difficult for us. you know that the custom and the culture of this place is so difficult to do certain things. Is that true? What about those who are doing it? And they're living in America. They are here. Are we convinced that that is what we need to be doing in life? You don't give up on the vision. Fight for it. Amen. I say fight for it. Amen. Fight for it. Amen. I say fight for it. Amen. Jesus was so passionate about his personal vision. It consumed him daily. He was resolved, firm. He was fully committed to it with everything in him, even when his family, his disciples, and a whole nation stood against him. Jesus did not give up on his vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was his vision? Number one, he came as a sacrifice. His vision was to be that sacrifice that satisfied the righteous demand of God for the atonement of sin. The personal vision of Jesus was to be that sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice that satisfied God's demand for the atonement of sin. He knew, I came to die, and he was okay going to the cross. Are you okay with what your vision demands of you? Jesus has so much miracles. He did so much miracles. People celebrated him. People wanted to crown him king. He walked on water. He had such exceptional, wonderful ministry. Women followed him all about, ministering to him according to Luke 8. They gave of their own substances. Disciples were there to minister to him. But none of those things removed his focus from where he was going. He was determined. He knew that it's either I do it or nobody will do it. Are you in that point in your life where you know it's either I do it, nobody will do it? Or you assume, oh, there will be somebody else who will do it. No, that's the problem in this church. For how many years I've been singing, people need to learn how to play drums. Maybe you still wait for Pastor Morgan to go learn how to play drum and play keyboard. Or somebody will do it. Somebody will do it. Today you sit to enjoy the labor. You sit to enjoy the tears and the sweat of others in everything you do. The food you go to the restaurant to eat, somebody toyed to come up with the menu. The car you are driving is the end result of somebody's personal vision. The house you are living in, everything that is used to build it, is the end result of somebody's personal vision. You think it was, they just woke up and manufactured the car. Not today, you enjoy it because somebody didn't say someone else will do it. They were resolved. They were determined. The aircraft you fly, you like first class. Last time we went to Nigeria, my son was like, Now, the point is this. If the Wright brothers had given up, will you have an aircraft to go into? We are enjoying the tears, the labor, the fight, the sweat of men and women who did not allow their personal vision to die. Who will enjoy your own? Who will enjoy your own? Sometimes I wonder, what I'm preaching and teaching in this church, should I be? Or should I just come here and tell you, God, we bless you. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Jump up and shout hallelujah. 20 times. Hallelujah. You have something that the world is waiting for. Amen. You must give birth to it. Amen. You must stay on it. Amen. Everything you use in the medical field is the invention of somebody. Last time when we met for word empowerment, I said this to them, and I'm just scratching this message, but I'm going to walk with her. I said to them, when you see human problem from the perspective of opportunity, you stop complaining about it. Because everything that we enjoy today was a problem before someone found a solution for it. That became their vision, and they passionately pursued it. Many enterprises that you enjoy today and the products you enjoy were begun as a family business. Dolphin that is taking how much thousands from us to be doing geotechnical designs for us started in the basement of somebody, one man. Today is a multi-billion industry. Basement. The guy stood with it, fell in it, kept on trying it until it sprang. There is no personal vision that is giving birth overnight. The idea of starting and quitting is not of God. Except the need comes where you have to. Your vision must make an impact. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus knew that he was the one to die. And he made up his mind to. You know the story. He goes to Gethsemane. Those whom he called and said, come pray with me, they all slept. But his mind was made up. Is your mind made up? Hallelujah. Jesus' personal vision was to be that person in whom the Father find full pleasure. His vision was to please the Father. His vision was to be a living, walking pleasure to the Father. In verse 6, the Bible says, burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure in. And he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. The Bible is clear on this. Psalm 139, when you read from verse 12 down, he said, before you were intricately formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And in his book, he has written all the days of your life. There is something written about you. There is something God has written about you. Do you know what it is? Jesus came to be the living pleasure. Someone who pleased the Father without any reservation. My Father has not left me because I do always those things that please him. John 5:19. Are you a living pleasure to God? Now let me say this. You know, the word of God here is too tough because your life is worth it. Did you hear what I said? Because what? Your life is worth it. If my wife and I don't believe in you, we will feed you soup, not strong meat. I believe you're able to digest it. So eat it. It is for your good. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. To do thy will, O God. Jesus' personal vision was to fulfill all that was written about him. All that was written, not some of them, all that was written about him. What is your personal vision? Why do you wake up each day? What are you passionately driven to do and to be each day of your life? As you open the pages of the Bible, what jumps out to you as a reason for your living? When you read the Bible, what jumps to you? It tells you this is the reason why you are alive. Personal vision is the key to sustainability and successful living. It is the key to sustainability and successful living. People who are successful, who have lived successfully, is not because they have $1 trillion in their account. It's because they fulfill the vision for their life. We speak of them. We celebrate them. We celebrate people like Mother Teresa, a woman who gave herself to a altruistic way of living, lived to raise others. Hallelujah. 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 We celebrate men like John Wycliffe, who ensured that the Bible was printed and that each person can read the Word of God. Today you have your Bible because people fought and died for it. People like Martin Luther, the great reformer, he stood against the atrocities in Germany. Through him, God brought a revival that is called the Protestant revival. It restored the faith of many, delivered the bound. But it wasn't easy for him. But he stood. We talk about men like Charles Finney, great revivalist, whose intent was to see revival all of the great England. Men like John Knox, a man who prayed and prayed and prayed for Scotland and the great Wales. He prayed so much so that the Queen of Scotland made this statement: "I am afraid of John Knox's prayer more than I fear all of the armory of Great Britain." One man prayed a revival into being in Scotland. One man. Speak about the Azusa revival. It was buttered by the sacrifice of Robert Evans, men who taught the truth of the Word of God until a revival broke through. Child of God, what are you living for? When the chapters of your life is closed, what shall be the end of the story? This is not about Morgan or Jennifer. This is about the very reason why you live. You gotta understand it, that my heart bleeds when I look at some of you and see the potential you have and see you running around with chickens instead of flying high with eagles. Because you limit yourself and you feel you don't have the resources. I am a fighter and I'll keep on fighting until I see what I have seen in my spirit come into materialization. Amen. Quitting is not an option here. I say it's not an option. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 No man or woman can ever leave a legacy without fulfilling his or her personal vision. Therefore, legacy is tied to knowing and passionately fulfilling your personal vision. We enjoy Microsoft. That was the personal vision of Bill Gates. Your personal vision, when fulfilled, is the key to your wealth, is the key to your promotion, is the key to your lifting, is the key for you to become an influence for God in the world you live in. There is no one here seated today who has no personal vision. God has given you something. The question is, what are you doing with it? Hallelujah. Oh, but Pastor, I am not called to do this, but what about your family? Are you fulfilling the personal vision of God for you and your family? What about in your immediate circle of interaction? What are you doing about that? What about this local church where you are? What are you doing about it? Hallelujah. And I'm going to end with these few notes because I'm trying to introduce this to us today. For you to fulfill your personal vision, there are six questions you must ask yourself. Number one, what is my role in the kingdom of God? Six questions you must ask yourself. What is my role in the kingdom of God? Question two, what do I do that is special, unique, or important in the kingdom of God? What is it that I do that is special, that is unique, that is important in the kingdom of God? Question one is the question of your role. Question two is the question of what you do, meaning actions you take that are unique, important in the kingdom of God. Number three, this question is important. If I were not in this church or in the kingdom of God, what impact would it make or have? If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, how will it impact this? How will it impact that organization? How will it impact that business? If I'm not here today, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, if I'm not following my personal vision, what impact would it have? Don't be a person who is just living, and when you are not there, nobody misses you. Everything is still going on as normal, as though you weren't there. Four, what are these actions, the characteristics and behavior I want to be known for? Because your personal vision defines your character. What are the actions? What are the characteristics? What are the behaviors that I want to be known for? Please, please, I beg of you in the name of the Lord, this is not a call to a high rope jump. This is a call that even where you are today, God has given you a vision that must start there. With the grandchildren, with the nephews, with the nieces, with your own life. Hallelujah. Number five, this is a great question. In 10 years from today, in 5 years from today, in 2 years from today, what do I want people to say about the impact I have made in the kingdom of God and in their lives personally? 10 years from today, 5 years from today, 2 years from today, what impact do I want people to say? What do I want people to say about the impact I have made in the kingdom of God and in their life personally? And finally, what is my highest point of contribution to the kingdom of God? What am I contributing to God's kingdom? What am I contributing to God's kingdom? You read the epistles of Paul because of his contribution to God's kingdom. You read of Peter because of his contribution to God's kingdom. You read of men and women because of their contribution to the society you live in. What are you contributing? I met a man in Nigerian consulate in Kenya some years back. And we were talking about a philosopher by the name Kierkegaard. And we were talking about change. And he looked at me and said, "Reverend Morgan, I believe in organic systematic change." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm here today as a consulate. I have the right to issue visas. I determine who I allow to go to Nigeria." He said, "If I'm doing right by everything I'm supposed to be doing here, I am creating change." And he said, "If everyone in their place of assignment and life and family are doing the right they're supposed to do, they are creating change. And what happens is that when everyone is doing what they're supposed to do, a ripple effect of the change becomes a revival." He's not a Christian. But I believed him because it's scriptural. He may not open this Bible, but he has spoken the truth. Where you are, how is your personal vision affecting that environment for good? Bow down your head this morning. There is something about you that you must discover. Or if you have discovered it, you must be doing something about it. Today may be one of those messages you hear as usual, go home and say, "Oh, well, here that's Pastor Morgan. He's always saying things like that." It may be one of those messages you hear and you get offended, "Oh, he called me out." I don't call you out. The Holy Ghost calls you out. It may be one of those messages you hear that throughout this week will leave an indelible mark in your spirit and constantly challenge you to be better, do better, understand that you are one unique individual who cannot be replaced, who must fulfill a vision for the glory of God, for your family. As you bow down your head, please, can you talk to God for yourself? Talk to God about yourself. Talk to Him about your life. About what you've heard today. Look at Jesus, my practical example. It wasn't easy for Him. 33 years of life. But today, all over the world, souls are coming to God because of Him. All over the world, healing takes place. Many times you quote Philippians chapter 2, you never knew that that is the end result of Him fulfilling His vision. Who, though being found in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but He humbled Himself. And He died. So much so that God, the Father, by reason of what He did, fulfilling His personal vision, gave Him a name that is above every other name. Until He died, the name of Jesus had no power. When He died and rose again, it became the answer to what solution? What are you going to do for which God will change the trajectory of your life and of your generation because of you? Talk to God, people. This is one of the messages that if not because of time, I want to stay on it. Because we cannot continue to play church. We can't continue to just live life as normal. When God said this year is a year of kingdom vision and fulfillment, it never dawned on me until recently it began to be clear to me that the heart of God Himself is broken. Because His people are not pursuing the vision He has given to them. We're pursuing our own vision, and we're stagnated in doing so, and we blame God for it. Grace can only be available in the place of assignment. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. If I don't know it, Lord, reveal it to me. But if I know it, God, give me grace to arise. Give me grace to arise. Open my eyes. I don't want to be a statistic on earth. Whatever you have called me to do, wherever I'm walking in that business, in that job, I am representing you. Help me, Lord. Let the vision of your kingdom be paramount in my spirit. We thank you and we bless you today. You've spoken to us because you love us. And we appreciate you. We exalt you. For only you can do for us what no man can do. Only you can do for us what no man can do. Only you can do for us what no man can do. Hallelujah. Jesus, we need you. We need you, 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 we need you. We need you, we need you, we need you, we need you. We bless you today. We honor you. Just open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Bless His name, bless His name, bless His name, bless His name. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. My lifetime, I have given God my lifetime. My lifetime, I have given God my lifetime. As I give God my life, He will take care of me. He will never, never let. Oh, I have given God. As I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never, never let. He will never let me down. I have given God my lifetime. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the church say, believe in amen. The powers of hell cannot stop you. Unbelief will not stop you. I pray for you today that faith will arise in you. I pray for you today that hope will be stirred in your spirit. I pray for you today that you see the uniqueness of your person and of the greatness that is within you and of the possibilities of God that exist in your spirit. You shall arise and fulfill your personal vision. For God who has given it to you have faith in you. His resources are with you. In the name of Jesus. And the church say, believe in amen.